Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
Hello, welcome to Thursday. We are here. I say we just get into it, man, because this is kind of a dense one.
It's a dense one. It's almost exclusively in Chicopsa, so
it's true.
I think we should just read it as is and then talk about it.
Yeah. We are, of course, talking today about minute 58 through 59 of Dune Part 2. This one is almost this one is exclusively in the Southern Siege.
No, we're still in the North.
That's right. They have it in the books. They're in the Southern Siege.
In the books, they're in the South.
Sorry. Just like Paul and the past, future, and present, I'm getting confused.
It's okay. I'm here to ground you.
Thank you.
Now go to your room.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
Some people see that as a punishment. I see that as permission.
Yeah, that's great. That's where I want to be anyways. All my stuff's there. So we are picking back up. Last minute we left off with the really cool carving of the Worm Rider. And hearing a woman off screen going, "Reverend Mother, Reverend Mother." And we get to see this woman at the first little bit of this minute.
Mm-hmm.
And she's running into this chamber with a bunch of other people.
There's a lot of people in here. Yeah.
They're all sitting down. Looks like some of them are in various states of prayer. But they're all dressed in like white or off-white robes.
Various beiges and tans.
Yeah. Light colors. Looks to be some kind of religious ceremony or a religious gathering. And we know that because the woman, as she gets into this crowd, she falls to her knees and she, bows on the ground. And she says, "Muad'Dib has made peace with Shai Hulud." And the camera cuts around and we finally get to see Jessica again. Ever since the weird Kubrick stare in the hallway, we haven't seen her.
Yeah. It's been a minute. And we get more indicators of time passing
mm-hmm.
because Jessica is now covered with tattoos, just like Romalo was.
Oh, dude, she got some sick face tats.
They're the same ones that we saw Paul see Jessica with in part one.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of sitting in a tiny little alcove, she's got this huge room. She's got all these Fremen sitting. She's in the middle, and all the Fremen around her are sitting looking at her.
Yep.
This woman comes in.
And her eyes are noticeably a lot more blue than they were last time we saw
her. They are a lot more blue. Yeah. "Muad'Dib has made peace with Shai Hulud. He called a grandfather worm the biggest ever seen as written."
Yep.
And then Jessica's response is... Well,
real quick, before she responds, as this woman is saying this, did you clock Jessica's facial expressions?
Yes.
So she was concerned at first, and then when she said Muad'Dib has made peace and everything, I got senses of like pride. Like she was very proud. She's very happy to hear this because her lips kind of like the sides of her mouth kind of curl up into a smile. She was relieved, obviously, to hear all this, but I got sense that she was like, "Fuck yeah, he's doing it."
I don't think she's proud that her son survived as much as this prophecy has been fulfilled, so now she can further, all the Bene Gesserit things that she wants to do.
Fair enough. Okay. It's just, so she got the green light.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jessica says, "Shai Hulud shall bow to the boy from the outer world."
Mm-hmm. Pause.
The group.
Yeah.
"Bless the maker in his works." Back to Jessica. "Will not Shai Hulud know the Mahdi when he comes? Then share the word."
Yeah.
Now, I went back and listened to this several times. And I also want to shout out friend of the show, Dune Navigator Martin, for also kind of coming to a realization that last line, "then share the word,"
mm-hmm.
almost has some like weird vocal processing to it to almost make it seem voice light. Okay. Where the way that Jessica is speaking is very airy, very up, very like high pitched, excited, but there's a little bit more on that lower end for that last line there.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's one of those things that you'll hear unless you have either really good headphones or like a really good, you know, sound system for your TV or whatever. But something seems...
I missed that. I didn't catch on to that.
Yeah, something seems a little tweaked with that last line.
Okay.
Not that Jessica really needs to do much to, you know, inspire these people to go out and proselytize Paul's, you know, taming of Shai Hulud or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it definitely is like a, I'm making sure all of you go do this kind of thing. Maybe.
Yeah. So I could actually or absolutely see that happening. I want to add a layer to that theory.
Okay.
We cut back to the lady who initially came in and was shouting, and she's happy.
She's super fucking stoked. She's like, yes, holy shit, it's happening. Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what should be a happy moment gets scored with some really foreboding music.
Mm-hmm.
We get some ominous sounds from the soundtrack here. And
Jessica's being
like helped up
by her attendants.
Yeah.
And she's doing weird talking to her unborn child thing.
Yeah. And she says, mm-hmm. I know they do.
Yeah.
And the attendants are like,
what the fuck?
Yeah. They look so creeped out by this. And she's of course speaking to Alia, whatever. And we cut back to her bedchamber, I guess.
That's what I called it. It was like her room.
Yeah.
Cause it's a much smaller, still like kind of circular space, but it's more just like there's what looks like a simple bed couch kind of situation. And then like space for a person's belongings.
Yeah. Her quarters. And she's still talking to Alia.
She's pacing, walking around the room, holding her pregnant belly.
Right. And what we hear is our task in the north is nearly done. They believe in Paul. And that's the last words we hear of the minute. It cuts off right here. Now, I want to...
Well, our last frame is a heat wave obscured silhouette walking across the desert.
Right, right. So we get it for like a quarter second.
Yeah.
As the minute ends. So I want to go back just a little bit to when, to that phrase that you mentioned, will not Shai Hulud know when the Mahdi comes?
Yeah.
And then Jessica says, then share the word.
Will not Shai Hulud know the Mahdi when he comes?
When he comes, excuse me.
Also want to, because it's important here, his are all capitalized for
emphasis.
Yeah.
In the words. Everything that we hear past share the word, I had already written this down, but I'm going to lump in share the word as when this. I'm not sold that that's Jessica. Now, we have a running theory on the show that a lot of the real heavy, like prophecy, religious stuff is actually Alia speaking through Jessica.
The high-pitched voice definitely kind of lends to that.
But so maybe that share the word or then share the word phrases can be lumped into this. But what I really want to, or where I was thinking about this was when we hear that our task in the north is nearly done, they believe in Paul, because we do not see Jessica's mouth moving in the videos.
In fairness, she's also turned away.
We see a profile, though. We would be able to see her mouth moving if she were talking out loud to this. So it could either A, just be a internal monologue voiceover that we're hearing, which that's a whole other gray area.
David Lynch, baby, we're back.
Well, that's a whole other gray area. No, if Jessica thinks to herself, she's not just thinking to herself anymore. She's thinking to Alia as well.
Right.
This theory split between the end of this minute and the beginning of next one. But yes, that little bit, I'm not so sure that that is Jessica. That might be Alia, if our theory is to hold true.
I feel like we've gotten a lot of buy-in on our theory from some community members as well.
Because, I mean, Alia feels like the more fanatical one between her and Jessica. Because Jessica is mostly, or she has been, up until the Water of Life where Alia reached her consciousness, she had been a much more reserved and cautious person.
Yeah.
Now it just seems like that's a 180 complete 180, and she's going full steam ahead with the fanaticism, which makes me think that that is Alia controlling the talks and the conversation there.
It also stands to reason that Alia has more to gain from the fanaticism than Jessica does, too. Mm-hmm. So,
the phrase, they believe in Paul, is what kind of set the alarms off. Mm-hmm. Because Jessica says that earlier. She when she's talking specifically or explicitly about Alia, she says she believes in you.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Words mean stuff, and especially when there's parody in the words, P-A-R-I-T-Y.
Yeah, not
making fun of them.
Not parody. Simpsons parody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some symbolism there.
Symbolism. The word you're looking for is symbolism.
So, I don't know. I'm just going to put that as more evidence to our theory. Why not?
Art and Soul doesn't explicitly say anything about Alia at all, actually. So we can't really, you know, call on that because we don't have, you know, Alia at all in this movie. I mean, we have briefly. Her for three words.
Yeah.
Paul, I love you, I think is what she says. But
we'll get there.
We'll get there. but like, I think this is the writer's way of still including Alia in the movie without doing the time jump and without doing all the weird stuff that the book does.
Yeah. But they've never given like explicit supporting evidence for this theory of ours.
Yeah.
This would be a massive show. Don't tell if that is what they were.
I'm hoping that is how it's going to be. I mean, we'll see when part three rolls out.
Yeah.
Exactly, like what the fuck is going to be going on here. So.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, anything else from your end? I think that's all from mine.
That's it. Like I said, Art and Soul, the only thing that they have for this entire sequence is just like a couple pictures of the room that all of the Fremen were in and a picture of Jessica with her, you know, tattoos and everything, but nothing of substance to talk about for the rest of the week. So.
All right, cool. Well, take us away. I fucked up the socials last episode, and John had to redo them, so yeah. I'm going to not do that anymore.
Well, as always, you can find us online. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. If you think we are either right or just completely wrong about this, you know, Alia speaking through Jessica thing, let us know.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts. All right, cool. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
See ya.